And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Good morning, sailors, morning. Mariners, deckhands, and various crew of the SS St. Barnabas. When Audie and I were first married, we had a small 16-foot sailboat called a Wildflower. On this vessel, we both had our distinct roles and responsibilities. Audie was to sit or lie down in the bow area wearing a swimsuit in order to feel the breeze and work on her tan. My role and responsibility was to sit in the stern, working the sails, navigating the tiller, and wearing a long sleeve cotton shirt, cotton pants, and deck shoes, and sporting a wide-brimmed straw hat. To others who saw us, I'm sure that I looked like her manservant from Davy's locker. I bring this up because we are all in this Christian transport craft together, heading towards home. I was about to say, amen. Amen? Let's change that to aye. Let's first look at our scriptures, however. And I'll try to put them into perspective for us. What I did want to tell you ahead of time is that when I wrote the sermon or wrote the outline for the sermon, I thought I would do is I would teach, for those of you who don't know, I was a professor of worship at a seminary in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where I was the professor of worship. So I tried to design the sermon as if you were in one of my classes this morning. Our Old Testament lesson this morning was from Job, a man who faced many challenges, tasks, and trials, but a man who also had inner strengths that came from his deeply seated faith. Here is how that book begins, before what we read this morning, because it gives an insight into him, and I think a model for us perhaps to follow. Job, chapter 1, verse 1, begins, there was a man from the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. I think most of us would like to be described in that way. I would. And Job, though beset with all the tribulations that you know, was still at this point in the story of our pericope this morning, or our section of the readings this morning, he was still angry and somewhat arrogant, self-righteous, and proud. And so it's that point where we pick up the story this morning. Chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel, meaning direction, by words without knowledge? We have to think about what we are saying when we say things. And so the Lord said to him, dress for action like a man. Today we would say, all right, man up. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. And then in chapter 11, it goes on. And the Lord said, thus far you shall come and no further. And here, at this time, at this spot, shall your proud waves be stayed, be made calm. It was a kind way of God saying to Job, okay, knock it off, about Job's attitude. Sometimes we all need to hear and to heed, I think, knock it off. In our psalm this morning, Psalm 107, shows how this seaborne spiritual experience, this journey, is supposed to go. In verse 11, it said, thus far shall you come and no further. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. It goes on then in verses 28 and 29 and says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. It is a preview, I think, of what Jesus the Messiah did in our gospel lesson this morning. So, my fellow able-bodied seamates, and by this, by the way, an able-bodied seamate on a ship are the ones who do all the work. And that includes for you and I, personal evangelism in the church, personal evangelism in our family, personal evangelism in the community. That is, you all and I get to tell others about Saint Barnabas. And we need to remember always that Barnabas, the name in Greek, means encourager. So your job is to encourage others to know that there is hope and love and faith. And much of it is found here each week. You might ask, why do I want to be on this cruise with all of these other shipmates? And we learned the why of that in our epistle this morning. Which was Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 5. And verses 17 through 20 say this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and therefore gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19, it goes on to say, that is, Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, thank you, Lord, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we, you and I, all of us, are ambassadors for Christ, and Christ is making his appeal through us in how we live our lives. Which brings me to a question for you to think of. To whom do you, in your life, in your world, need to be reconciled? It is what we are supposed to do. Amen? Aye, aye. Now let me set the scene for you for the gospel. It takes place on the Sea of Galilee. And if you don't know, the Sea of Galilee is the most prominent thing you see in Galilee, where Jesus grew up, where Jesus lived, where Jesus worked. Almost anywhere you look, at least in the distance, you see the Sea of Galilee. Many of the towns that you read about in the scriptures are on the Sea of Galilee. This was, to a big part, Jesus' world. And that Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long from here to All Saints Church in Peachtree City. 7 miles wide, I think, about from here to the hospital in Piedmont Hospital in town. It is also a natural bowl. Let me see if I can find something to use here. We have a liturgical bowl right here. But I wanted you to see it in this way. That is the Sea of Galilee. To the east, that'd be east for you. The east of the sea is Jordan and the desert surrounding the country of Jordan. The Sea of Galilee sits in a green plain, and it's beautiful. To the west of that is the Mediterranean, and winds come from that area. To the south is the Arabian desert, and strong winds come from that. On a typical day, the Sea of Galilee is calm, like this bowl. When those winds blow from any direction. They come down into the sea. And what I should have told you is the sea is 700 feet below sea level. So the winds come from the east, the west, the south. And when they come in, they come down like this into the bowl. And this calm sea can have tremendous waves that come in. It is like a severe storm in the Atlantic Ocean on this lake. To give you an example of that, would you take the liturgical bowl? Thank you. It looks calm. It looks thing. The sea itself, by the way, is about 80 foot deep in the center. So it is a big body of water. But the apostles and the people following them, because it says there were other boats in our scripture this morning, are following Jesus and the apostles in one boat. Other boats, whoever could grab a boat and follow, are following as well. And they get into this storm. A typical Galilean boat, because we have found some archaeologically that were down in the mud that have come out, and you can see them if you're there in the Holy Land, is between 23 and 25 feet long. It means it's the size of a FedEx van, about. They are 7 foot wide at the center. Here to the center of the altar is how big that they are. They are about 3 foot high is all. And in there is sitting 12 apostles, Jesus, and in all the other boats, the same sort of situation. And those waves on the Sea of Galilee are typically in a storm 10 to 12 feet high, higher than the stained glass windows. So that's the situation that you are in. On the particular day that this takes place, our lessons takes place, Jesus had just selected the 12 apostles. So they were relatively new to him. They were relatively new, probably, to some of the others in the group. And recently in his life, Jesus was, shall we say, less than well received by his family and the teachers of the law. But at the same time, Jesus then cured a man with a withered hand, and for that had been denounced for doing it on the Sabbath. At the same time, it tells us in the scriptures that Jesus was being followed by, in the reading today, in the ESV, it's crowds. In many of the other translations, it says by the multitudes. In Hebrew teaching, a multitude is 10,000 people. So we can round that off to Jesus would have been there with, we'll use, say, 20,000 people on that day. In other words, it had to have been exhausting for Jesus. Everything he did, mingling, talking, touching, teaching, 20,000 people gathered at the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And so at that point, Jesus said, when evening had come, let us cross over to the other side. I think rest was needed. Rest was required. And yet, it was not to be. And leaving the crowd, the multitude, they took with them him in the boat. And it said in the scripture this morning, just as he was. No time to wash up. No time to unwind. No time to unravel. It also said other boats were with him. So lots of people who could were following along as well. Now, in a Galilean fishing boat, if you can picture, there's a small deck in the stern that somebody can stand on and toss out the nets. Beneath that is a shelf. And inside the shelf, they store nets, they store equipment, they store whatever they need, or they can put a cushion. And verse 37 of our gospel this morning said, and a great storm arose. Picture the 12-foot waves. And they were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, do you not care that we are perishing?" And so he awoke. And he stood, I assume, and he rebuked the wind and then said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He then turned to the new apostles and said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" These men still had lots to learn, as do we. Here is where the lesson usually ends. But I think that there is more for you and I to think about. The one verse said, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said, 'Peace, be calm.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." But they were still in the middle of that lake, in a small boat surrounded by other boats, and all the boats were full of water. All were near sinking. So once they caught their breath, I presume, the new work began. You see, some of the sailors had to bail out the seawater, which would have been backbreaking work. Some of the sailors had to row the heavy, saturated boats another 3.5 miles into the shore. And that requires persistence and determination and endurance. In the church, there are often new and exciting times. Times of hope, times of promise, times of expectation, times of excitement. Our senior warden, Susan, will be speaking something about this a little bit later. And in the church, we all have to realize that with all of the excitement, the hope, the promise, expectation, the work of being a loving, worshipful Christian community goes on. And hopefully it goes on with joy. You are all sailors, mariners, deckhands here at St. Barnabas Anglican Church. In our gospel lesson this morning, the apostles called out to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Rabbi." We also can call out to the Lord in every situation of our life, whether it is joyful, doubtful, joyous, loving, exhausting, tender, or fearful. We can call out to the Lord. We call that praying, and we can do it at any time. So I'd like to give you now a little Hebrew lesson, because there are some names to think about relating to busy times, restful times, sometimes new and challenging situations. We can call out to God, and people at Jesus' time would have called out, "Elohim," which means you are the Lord of creation. "El Shaddai," you are the sufficient one, God Almighty. "El Olam," you are the everlasting God. "Adonai," you are our Lord and Master. "Yahweh Rapha," you are the Lord who heals us. "Emmanuel," you are God with us always. "Jehovah Shammah," you are the Lord who is present always. "Jehovah Jireh," you are the Lord who provides. Or you are Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. If any of you would like a list of those names that I just gave you, I gave a copy of it to Deborah, and she'll make copies of it if you want to put that in your prayer book, those names. A number of years ago, a Christian artist, if you remember, named Amy Grant, wrote and recorded a song called El Shaddai. And part of the lyrics of that song say, El Shaddai, Eloheinu, Adonai, age to age, you're still the same by the power of his name. Now, a few of those were wording that along with me, so join right in. El Shaddai, Eloheinu, Adonai, age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. Beloved, we are in this vessel, this sacred ministry together, and it is powered and empowered by the Holy Spirit through the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, our Savior. And my beloved, we need to keep sailing on to the other side, together to share what we have, to tell others of the saving grace of Jesus the Christ. We need to keep sailing on to recognize for ourselves and to tell others about the love, forgiveness, redemption, salvation, and hope that comes in following Jesus, our Lord, our Christ, our Messiah, our love, our hope. Are you ready to set out? Are you ready to shove off? Amen?
Amen.
Aye, aye. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.